The work disassembling the mosaic was intense, and Anya had to get up a few times and stretch her cramped shoulder muscles. Gradually, the tesserae were all removed and placed on the table. When she was finished, she was ultimately disappointed. There was nothing on the glazed marble behind them. She stared at the picture of the dog she'd assembled on the table next to the glazed tile background. She'd put each piece next to its mate, recreating the picture because that was how she'd been trained to handle artifacts. Everything that was found together stayed together, in the same position it had been found. All that work, and she still didn't have anything to show for it. Anya needed to relax, and she figured that the bath she'd been missing for the past few days might help her thoughts percolate. A nap wouldn't hurt either. Retreating to the bathroom, she got a clothing bag out, stripped down, then dumped her clothing into the bag. She added the old clothes she still had. While the water ran to fill the tub, Anya went through the selection of bath fragrances and found some bayberry that smelled pretty good. She wanted a long soak, so she emptied the bottle into the water. Anya rushed back to the bed and checked her caller ID. The number started with the international code 06, Italy. Anya was immediately filled with dread, knowing that in all probability it was Mario's family.
Hello?
Anya?
Yes, who is this?
Pietro Silvestri. I was Mario's brother-in-law.
I remember you, the soccer player.
Yes.
Anya remembered Pietro Silvestri as being quiet and shy. He and Francesca hadn't been married long, and he was out of place in Mario's boisterous family.
I'm surprised that you remember me.
I've got a good memory. Plus, as you recall, you and I were both uncomfortable in that madhouse.
Yes. Things have not changed. Only now some of the loudness is caused by the three children Francesca and I have been blessed with.
How are things going?
Things are crazy around here. I think Dante and I are going to come for Mario's body. It would be too hard for anyone else.
If there's anything I can do, please don't hesitate to ask.
You are kind, but there isn't much to do. This is just a very sad thing.
Anya silently agreed. She'd put off her own sadness by working, but that wouldn't last forever. Even though she and Mario hadn't seen each other in years, knowing he was gone forever hurt.
How are you?
I'm okay. Sad. But it had been a long time since I'd seen Mario.
That's what he said. His sister always teased him about you. She told him he shouldn't have let you get away.
I think we got away from each other, on purpose. Mario and I weren't exactly looking for anything permanent. We had a good time. It was nice to be friends. Simple.
You don't get simple after you have kids. I think kids were what made Mario finally want to settle down. He'd been around so many nieces and nephews that he started wanting to have kids of his own.
I'd heard Mario had someone in his life. Irena?
That's right. Irene Skuljans. It's a strange name.
Not in Latvia. I'm assuming that's where Mario met her.
Yes, he was over there researching something he was very excited about.
Do you know what it was?
No. Mario liked being mysterious. He was always doing those puzzles, showing the kids how to make cipher keys so they could write messages to each other that their parents couldn't read.
Playfair ciphers.
Anya remembered Mario's instruction to play fairly with her authentication. She and Mario had whiled away some of the boring hours out at the dig site playing with the idea of codes. Mario had been fascinated by them, and his favorite had been the Playfair ciphers.
Ah, Playfair. I think that's what they were called. Whatever he was doing, it consumed him.
What do you mean?
Anya went back to the mosaic and the pieces she'd pried from the background. She began turning the tesserae over one by one, working through the rows.
He worked on this project for 2 or 3 years, off and on. Whatever it was, Mario found out about it while working in Vatican City. That was one of the reasons he quit there.
He left me a message and told me he was bored.
Anya started on the second row.
That was part of it. Too many secrets, I suppose.
Every culture has them.
After leaving Vatican City, Mario worked in Venice for a while.
Doing what?
He was a gondolier, if you can believe it.
I can't.
He was. Francesca and I went down there to see it for ourselves.
Why would he take a job like that?
Not making a connection, Anya started on the third row and kept working down.
He couldn't find anything else, and he wanted to stay there. Whatever he was working on, it consumed him. He always wanted to be famous.
I remember. So how did he end up in Riga?
A few months ago, he told everyone he was moving there for a while. To sort some things out, he said. But you could tell he thought he was onto something.
But no one knew what?
No. And then he started seeing Irena.
She lived there?
I believe she still does. One of the things that seemed to captivate Mario most about her was that she was a witch.
A witch?
Yes. Mario seemed quite enamored of her because of that. She was supposed to be something like a hedge witch or a midwife. He said Irena knew a lot of things about plants and herbal remedies. Now, we don't think we'll ever get to meet her.
No one has a way of getting in touch with her?
No. We contacted Mario through his cell phone. If we don't find a way soon, she may miss the funeral. The most upsetting aspect about this is that Mario's killers are still on the loose.
Nearly halfway into the eight rows of tesserae, Anya turned one over and found a letter. Excitement surged within her.
You never know, Pietro. That could change at any time.
Anya had no idea how much time had passed. She sat looking at the back of the mosaic, finally seeing the secret that had been hidden beneath the surface. If she hadn't taken the tiles off one by one and placed them in the same order, she'd have lost the message. Mario knew how diligent she was, so there was no doubt in Anya's mind that the message had been intended for her. She stared down at the words.
Hi, Anya. I have no secrets from you. Remember, no Salgovi.
The Salgovi were a Brythonic tribe from Scotland, and one of the main reasons the Romans had built Hadrian's Wall. It made sense that Mario would use that as a linchpin to get a message across. Below it was a code. The first six letters were E-S-I-R-E-F. The second part, on a line of four rows down from the first, had 12 letters. J-V-L-P-H-N-J-E-M-X-J-W. Anya took her digital camera from her backpack, then stood on a chair over the table to focus on the tiles. She adjusted the flash and lens to capture the letters correctly in the light of the room. She put her camera away and tried to wrap her mind around what the message meant. At first glance, the code didn't tell her much. Then she remembered what Pietro had said about the ciphers Mario had taught his nieces and nephews. The Playfair cipher had been Mario's favorite. Without a key, the cipher could be incredibly hard to break. Mario hadn't included one, but Anya knew that Hadrian's Wall had to be the key. She got a graph paper pad and pen from her backpack, recalling that the Playfair cipher consisted of five rows of letters by five columns of letters. Usually, a code word or phrase was written across the top without a break and without repeating letters. X indicated the first time double letters, like EE or SS, were used. The rest of the letters were put in order from left to right, from top to bottom. Anya wrote Hadrian's Wall down, leaving out the apostrophe and the repeated letters. She was left with H-A-D-R-I-N-S-W-L. Since Wall had double L's, she added an X. Her final tally was 10 unique letters, H-A-D-R-I-N-S-W-L-X. Once she had those, she worked swiftly, slipping the letters into the 5x5 grid. Traditionally, Q wasn't used, or I and J were used in the same space. The cipher key took shape quickly. Then she started substituting letters. The rules were simple. Whenever letters were on the same row, they were substituted for the ones immediately to their right, wrapping back around to the front of the row as needed. If the letters were in the same column, they were substituted with letters just below them, wrapping back to the top of the column if necessary. Letters that were in different rows and columns were used as anchors to form rectangles. Then the letters in the opposite corners of the rectangles were substituted out, staying within the same row, not the same column. The first coded message, E-S-I-R-E-F, became C-W-H-I-F-G. The cipher idea had sounded so much like Mario that Anya was certain of his intention, but the combination of letters obviously made no sense. She went over in her mind the process she'd used to arrive at the answer and decided it couldn't be wrong. Therefore, the cipher key had to be. She'd missed something. Anya stood up from the table and stepped back from the mosaic. Whatever it was, she knew it had to be on the back of the pieces. She was just about to give up and flip the tiles back over when she noticed a faded line made up of discolored stones. Taking her mini mag light from her backpack, she shone the light on the tiles, exploring the discoloration more closely. The stones had been intentionally discolored. A gentle wash of some kind of stain had lent them a faint yellowish tinge. At first, she'd thought there were only 10 discolored tesserae. The correlation between the number of tiles and the number of unique letters in the code word didn't escape her. In the end, she saw that there were 25 discolored tiles. The discoloration on 15 others was less, but it was still there. Not only that, but they were laid out in a 5x5 square. The center 9 tiles were discolored the same shade. That shade matched the 4th tile down in the last column. Pulse quickening, Anya knew she was close to the answer. The letters in the code word had to be in sequential order. The only orders could be 2 rows of 3, followed by a row of 4. Unless Mario had begun on the outside and worked his way into a spiral.
Yes, that has to be it.
Anya put pen to paper on a clean page.